into something called the National Football League. The NFL, Clarence howled. Son, have you gone completely crazy? In 1910, with 15 cents to his name, Clarence Miller left his family's dusty East Texas cotton farm and walked the train tracks into Dallas to stake his claim. Not in oil, mind you, in overalls, specifically dungarees, which, as Clarence loved to say, were the only thing in this crazy world that never changed. By 1952, Clarence had built his little cotton company into the largest fabric manufacturer west of the Mississippi. Now, 68, with thick, wavy silver hair and a Lone Star lineage dating back to the Alamo, Miller was considered Southern royalty, a true Texas tycoon. The cotton mill king of the Southwest, they called him. He had all the trappings of that title, the requisite mansion on Swiss Avenue in North Dallas, dozens of servants, and enough money and power to even consider a run for Texas governor. 7 days a week, Mr. CR, as everyone called him, sported expensive, tailored three-piece suits, even though they never fully concealed the telltale thick neck and broad shoulders of an East Texas farm kid. As founder and CEO of Texas Textile for nearly four decades, Miller lorded over his fiefdom from behind a massive leather-covered mahogany desk that was so daunting, and let's be honest, more than a little Freudian, it would have looked utterly ridiculous anywhere outside of Texas. With a dozen mills, 600 employees, and annual profits well into the millions, from this aircraft carrier-sized platform, Mr. CR entertained an unusual amount of what one might call unique business pitches. Most came from Giles, his middle son, the family's resident dreamer and schemer who had just been put in charge of TTM's new investment division. This being Texas, there were endless asks for wildcatting dough, of course. For a while, racehorses and race cars were a thing. There was a real estate phase, a plastics phase, and a politics phase. Money for movie and music producing was a constant. Those were a weakness for CR, who had supplemented his income when he first arrived in Dallas with orchestra gigs by playing the trombone and cornet. Just a few months earlier, there had even been some cockamamie plan on his desk about a home beverage delivery service, which Mr. CR figured was just a convoluted scheme by his thirsty, spoiled offspring to avoid driving to the liquor store. But truly, in all his years running Texas Textile, nothing had ever crossed CR's legendary desk as daggum dumb as what his pampered, foolhardy, and dangerously charming son Giles was considering this morning, a Dallas franchise in the National Football League. Talking a mile a minute as usual, Giles explained that he had it on good authority that the struggling New York Yanks were about to fold. As a result, he had been awake for the better part of 3 days leading a group of Dallas investors who intended to purchase the franchise, transplant it to football-obsessed Texas, and change the course of American sports history, all while showing those damn Yanks a thing or two about how to properly run and support a football club. When he finally paused for a breath, Giles could see that he had managed to make absolutely no indent for Dad whatsoever. The old man's prodigious jowls were growing more crimson by the second. But CR refused to say another word, letting his still unanswered initial inquiry hang heavy in the air between them. Just what in the hell is going on? The NFL? Son, have you gone completely crazy? At the time, it would have appeared so. While it would one day grow into a glossy, multi-billion-dollar corporation and America's national pastime, in 1952, when Giles Miller dreamed up the idea of making Dallas the NFL's first franchise in the South, the National Football League was almost unrecognizable.